Listening, reading. Task 1. Listening. For items 1 to 10, listen to part of a lecture about archaeology. To do the items 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9, complete the sentences using no more than 2 words. A number is considered as 1 word. To do the items 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10, decide whether a statement is true, A, or false, B. You will hear the text twice. You now have 30 seconds to look through the items. Now we begin.
Archaeology, like many academic words, comes from Greek and means, more or less, the study of old things. So it is really a part of the study of history. However, most historians use paper evidence, such as letters, documents, paintings and photographs. But archaeologists learn from the objects left behind by the humans of long ago. Normally, these are the hard materials that don't decompose or disappear very quickly. Things like human bones and skeletons, objects made from stone and metal, and ceramics. Sometimes archaeologists and historians work together. Take, for example, the study of the Romans, who dominated the Mediterranean area and much of Europe 2,000 years ago. We know a lot about them from their writing, and some of their most famous writers are still quoted in English. We also know a lot about them from what they made, from their coins to their buildings. Archaeologists have worked on Roman remains as far apart as Hadrian's Wall in the north of England and Leptis Magna in Libya. Of course, for much of human history, there are no written documents at all. Who were the first humans, and where did they come from? This is a job for the archaeologists, who have found and dated the bones and objects left behind. From this evidence, they believe that humans first appeared in Africa and began moving to other parts of the world about 80,000 years ago. The movement of our ancestors across the planet has been mapped from their remains. Humans went to Australia about 70,000 years ago, but have been in South America for just 15,000 years. The evidence of archaeology has helped to show the shared origin and history of us all. It is very unusual to find anything more than the hard evidence of history. Normally, the bacteria in the air eat away at soft organic material, like bodies, clothes, and things made of wood. Occasionally, things are different. A mind-boggling discovery. In 1984, two men made an amazing discovery while working in a bog called Lindo Moss, near Manchester, in the north of England. A bog is a very wet area of earth, with a lot of plants growing in it. It can be like a very big and very thick vegetable soup. Walk in the wrong place, and you can sink and disappear forever. After hundreds of years, the dead plants can compress together and make peat, which is like soil, but is so rich in energy that it can be burned on a fire like coal. The men were cutting the peat when one of them saw something sticking out. A human foot. Naturally, the men called the police, who then found the rest of the body. Was it a case of murder? Possibly. But it was a death nearly 2,000 years old. The two men had found a body from the time of the Roman invasion of Celtic Britain. Despite being so old, This body had skin, muscles, hair, and internal organs. The scientists who examined him were able to look inside the man's stomach and find the food that he had eaten for his last meal. Why was this man so well preserved? It was because he was in a very watery environment, safe from the bacteria that need oxygen to live. Also, the water in the bog was very acidic. The acid preserved the man's skin in the way that animal skin is preserved for leather coats and shoes. How did he die? Understandably, archaeologists and other scientists wanted to know more about the person that they called Lindo Man. His hands and fingernails suggested that he hadn't done heavy manual work in his life. He could have been a rich man or a priest. They found that he hadn't died by accident. The forensic examination revealed that he had been hit on the head 3 times and his throat was cut with a knife. Then a rope was tightened around his neck. As if that wasn't enough, he was then thrown into the bog. So, Lindo Man was killed using 3 different methods, when just 1 would have been sufficient. The archaeologists believe that he was sacrificed to 3 different Celtic gods, called Taranis, Isis, and Cutates. Each god required a different form of death. A sacrifice to Cutates required drowning, which is why he was found in the bog. Nobody can tell the complete story of Lindo Man. The Romans said that the Celts made sacrifices every May to make sure that there was enough food that year. Was he a typical routine sacrifice? An archaeologist called Anne Ross has suggested that Lindo Man was a special case. Why would an important man be sacrificed to 3 gods? Perhaps it was in response to the Roman invasion of Britain, which started in the year AD 43, close to the time that Lindo Man died. He might have been killed to gain the help of the gods against the Romans. It didn't work. The Romans stayed in Britain for 400 years, and Lindo Man stayed in his bog for 2,000. Say hello to Lindo Man. If you visit London, you can go and see Lindo Man at the British Museum, where he is spending some time in the company of more famous mummies from Egypt. Whereas the bodies of the Egyptian kings and queens were intentionally preserved, Lindo Man is with us by accident. Whatever his origins, it is a fascinating experience to see him face to face. I recommend it.
You will hear the text again in 45 seconds. Now listen to the text again.
Archaeology, like many academic words, comes from Greek and means, more or less, the study of old things. So it is really a part of the study of history. However, most historians use paper evidence, such as letters, documents, paintings and photographs. But archaeologists learn from the objects left behind by the humans of long ago. Normally, these are the hard materials that don't decompose or disappear very quickly. Things like human bones and skeletons, objects made from stone and metal, and ceramics. Sometimes archaeologists and historians work together. Take, for example, the study of the Romans, who dominated the Mediterranean area and much of Europe 2,000 years ago. We know a lot about them from their writing, and some of their most famous writers are still quoted in English. We also know a lot about them from what they made, from their coins to their buildings. Archaeologists have worked on Roman remains as far apart as Hadrian's Wall in the north of England and Leptis Magna in Libya. Of course, for much of human history, there are no written documents at all. Who were the first humans, and where did they come from? This is a job for the archaeologists, who have found and dated the bones and objects left behind. From this evidence, they believe that humans first appeared in Africa and began moving to other parts of the world about 80,000 years ago. The movement of our ancestors across the planet has been mapped from their remains. Humans went to Australia about 70,000 years ago, but have been in South America for just 15,000 years. The evidence of archaeology has helped to show the shared origin and history of us all. It is very unusual to find anything more than the hard evidence of history. Normally, the bacteria in the air eat away at soft organic material, like bodies, clothes, and things made of wood. Occasionally, things are different. A mind-boggling discovery. In 1984, two men made an amazing discovery while working in a bog called Lindow Moss, near Manchester, in the north of England. A bog is a very wet area of earth, with a lot of plants growing in it. It can be like a very big and very thick vegetable soup. Walk in the wrong place, and you can sink and disappear forever. After hundreds of years, the dead plants can compress together and make peat, which is like soil, but is so rich in energy that it can be burned on a fire like coal. The men were cutting the peat when one of them saw something sticking out. A human foot. Naturally, the men called the police, who then found the rest of the body. Was it a case of murder? Possibly. But it was a death nearly 2,000 years old. The two men had found a body from the time of the Roman invasion of Celtic Britain. Despite being so old, this body had skin, muscles, hair, and internal organs. The scientists who examined him were able to look inside the man's stomach and find the food that he had eaten for his last meal. Why was this man so well preserved? It was because he was in a very watery environment, safe from the bacteria that need oxygen to live. Also, the water in the bog was very acidic. The acid preserved the man's skin in the way that animal skin is preserved for leather coats and shoes. How did he die? Understandably, archaeologists and other scientists wanted to know more about the person that they called Lindow Man. His hands and fingernails suggested that he hadn't done heavy manual work in his life. He could have been a rich man or a priest. They found that he hadn't died by accident. The forensic examination revealed that he had been hit on the head 3 times and his throat was cut with a knife. Then a rope was tightened around his neck. As if that wasn't enough, he was then thrown into the bog. So, Lindow Man was killed using 3 different methods, when just 1 would have been sufficient. The archaeologists believe that he was sacrificed to 3 different Celtic gods called Taranis, Isis, and Tutates. Each god required a different form of death. A sacrifice to Tutates required drowning, which is why he was found in the bog. Nobody can tell the complete story of Lindow Man. The Romans said that the Celts made sacrifices every May to make sure that there was enough food that year. Was he a typical routine sacrifice? An archaeologist called Anne Ross has suggested that Lindow Man was a special case. Why would an important man be sacrificed to 3 gods? Perhaps it was in response to the Roman invasion of Britain, which started in the year AD 43, close to the time that Lindow Man died. He might have been killed to gain the help of the gods against the Romans. It didn't work. The Romans stayed in Britain for 400 years, and Lindoman stayed in his bog for 2,000. Say hello to Lindoman. If you visit London, you can go and see Lindoman at the British Museum, where he is spending some time in the company of more famous mummies from Egypt. Whereas the bodies of the Egyptian kings and queens were intentionally preserved, Lindoman is with us by accident. Whatever his origins, it is a fascinating experience to see him face to face. I recommend it.
Now you have 3 minutes to finish the task and transfer your answers to the answer sheet. Task 2. Integrated listening and reading. Listen to part of a lecture on the ability of animals to anticipate earthquakes. Then read a text on the same issue. You will notice that some ideas coincide and some differ in these texts. Answer questions 11 to 24 by choosing A, if the idea is expressed in both materials, B, if it can be found only in the audio recording, C, if it can be found only in the reading text, and D, if neither of the materials expresses the idea. You will hear the recording only once. Now we begin.
Well, the belief in the value of using animals as predictors of earthquakes is, in my opinion, based on very weak evidence. The fact is that no serious scientific research has shown that this actually works. I agree, of course, that animals have been shown to have different and often superior sensory capacities. But all the evidence we've collected about animal behavior prior to earthquakes is anecdotal. In other words, based on what people claim to have observed after the event. So, often after any sudden major event, people focus on things they remember happening just before. Amongst other things, they remember things like animals apparently behaving oddly. It may be that animals, from time to time, behave in unusual ways, but if this isn't followed by an impressive event, such as an earthquake, well, then people have no reason to remember this behavior. People often remember vividly all kinds of things that happened prior to any surprising or catastrophic event. Some studies have shown some of the animal stories to be fanciful rather than factual. Oh, for example, people have often claimed that many dogs and other family pets go missing just before a quake. The hypothesis that this could be caused by the animal's anticipation of an earthquake has in fact been tested in California by scientists who have studied reports of missing animals in conjunction with earthquake activity. This study, at least, showed no connection between pet behavior and quake occurrence over a 3-year period. As for the often-heard success of the evacuation of a Chinese city prior to an earthquake based on animal behavior, it turns out that, in fact, the real warning was given by a series of foreshocks, shocks that sometimes occur before a major quake.
This is the end of the listening section of the test. Go on with your integrated reading task.